to welcome everyone out to service this evening, and we welcome back as our preacher this evening, Mr. Kyle Wenlock from Macrofelt. Remember, the midweek meeting is usual on Wednesday at 8 p.m., and Mr. Richard Edwards from Enniskillen will take that meeting. Next Lord's Day, the service is 11:30 and 7, and the preacher will be Mr. Andrew Irwin from Lisburn, who's completed 1 year at the Whitfield College of the Bible. And just a reminder that the Lough Erne Convention takes place this week in Enniskillen.
Thank you, brother, for those announcements and for those words of welcome. We're going to open our service tonight singing hymn 224. 224, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? And this hymn asks each one of us a question. And a question that as we sing this hymn, I pray that we'll answer in our own heart. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? We'll all stand to sing after the introduction, please. 224. Stand the same. It's our prayer tonight that before you would leave this meeting, if you're not washed, that you'll have come and put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who came to for this old earth, died on the cross, shed his blood, so an old hell-deserving sinner such as you and me could come, put our trust in him, and have eternal life. We're just going to come and we're going to bring the issues of this meeting before the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord to come and be with us. Be one of our number. You know, we could come here tonight and we could tick a box, and because it's Sunday evening, we come to this service. But you know, I pray tonight that we'll come and we'll meet with the Lord tonight, that we know his presence in a real way. I want the Lord to speak to me tonight, and I pray that the Lord will speak to you. We'll pray for each one of our hearts tonight that the Lord will come and draw alongside. And if you're not saved tonight, that I'd come and I'd draw you and I'd convince you and convict you of your sin and just draw you onto himself. We're just going to come and we're going to have a wee word of prayer. Heavenly Father, well, thank you, Lord, that you came and you shed your precious blood so that old hell-deserving sinners such as us could come, put our faith and trust in you as our Saviour, and be right before a holy God and have access into heaven. We thank you, Lord, for the plan of salvation tonight. We thank you, Lord, that we come here tonight not with a message from a denomination or a church. I don't come here tonight with my message. We thank you, Lord, we come with the message of the gospel. The good news that Jesus loves sinners. God loves sinners. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Lord, we pray tonight for thy word as it goes forth. We pray, Lord, as we sing these hymns together, that you'll write the words on each one of our hearts. We pray, Lord, as we read thy precious word tonight, that you'll write the word upon our heart. We pray, Lord, as we consider a few thoughts later on in our meeting from thy word, that you'll speak to each one of our hearts tonight. Lord, I pray that there be none leave this meeting tonight untouched. I pray that there be none go home tonight still out of Christ without a Saviour. Lord, I pray that you'll save the unsaved in this meeting tonight. Lord, I pray that you'll work in each one of our hearts tonight. And Lord, help us know your presence in a real way. What a waste of time it would be to come here and spend this time together and miss the Lord's presence, miss the gospel, miss the message of salvation. Lord, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts. We realize that unless God speaks, men and women will not be saved. And Lord, I pray tonight that you'll speak to each one. And I pray, Lord, that you'll show them their need of salvation. Well, thank you for the hymn and the question that we've already been singing tonight. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? And we thank you, Lord, tonight that each one can be washed in the blood of the Lamb tonight. There's none left out. And Lord, I pray that they'll come and they'll be washed. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of being here tonight. We thank you, Lord, for each one that you've brought in. We thank you for each home represented tonight. Lord, I pray that you'll bless each home. I pray that you'll speak to each heart. Lord, we think of those that are not well tonight, those that normally would be here in their pew, Lord, and yet tonight finds them in the bed of sickness. Lord, I pray that you'll draw very near to them. I pray that they'll know your presence with them in a very real way. And Lord, we pray that you'll bless tonight. We think of the minister and his family of this congregation. Lord, wherever he's at tonight, I pray that you'll put your hand upon him. Give him a blessing from yourself. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for his labors here. We thank you, Lord, for the work, Lord, that you've called him to do here. We pray, Lord, that you'll bless him. We pray, Lord, that you'll give him time of refreshing. And Lord, bring him back amongst these people. And Lord, we pray that you'll bless this part of your vineyard. Lord, we We realize that each one of us has family members, and tonight they're not saved. We realize that there's some in our meeting tonight, and mothers and fathers, and their hearts are broken over children that are not saved. And Lord, we pray that you'll close our families in with thyself. We pray, Lord, that you'll bring the last one in. For those, Lord, tonight that are out in the mountains wild and bare, those maybe that have come up through the Sunday school, those that have come up through the children's meeting and have been taught the gospel and they know it in their head, but Lord, I pray tonight that you'll open their heart. And I pray, Lord, that those verses, those messages that they've learned, Lord, I pray that you'll bring them to the remembrance. And Lord, you'll save. Close our families in with thee. Lord, we pray that you'll give us a great time in thy presence tonight. Lord, take away all thoughts of tomorrow. Take away all thoughts of this incoming week. And Lord, just close us in with thyself tonight. And Lord, give us a great time in thy presence. For we ask these things for thy name's sake. Amen. We're going to continue on singing hymn 203. I was sinking deep in sin, sinking to rise no more, overwhelmed by guilt within. Mercy I did implore. And the chorus says, love lifted me. Love lifted me when no one but Christ could help. Love lifted me. You know, if you're in this meeting tonight and you're still outside of Christ, he is the only one. He's the only one can save your soul tonight. Let's sing this hymn together. Hymn 203, and we'll stand again after the introduction.
not in the book. So whenever you sing the chorus the first time over, we sort of repeat it at the end of the first time. Let me hear you sing. And if you're saved tonight and love has lifted you, let's hear Hallelujah. And then we'll sing the chorus again. So we'll sing the first verse together again, along with the chorus. And if you're saved tonight, let's hear that Hallelujah at the end, just in the middle as we sing it the first time through in that chorus. Okay, let's give the introduction.
I was singing deep in sin, singing to rise no more. Overwhelmed by guilt within, mercy I did implore. Then the master of the sea, there by his very blood, Christ my Savior lifted me.
But it's good singing anyway. We'll see how it lasts. We're going to read the scriptures and bring the message now together. So if you have your Bibles with you, if you can turn with me to Exodus chapter 12, the Old Testament, the book of Exodus, and we're going to read from the chapter 12. This is another very familiar portion of God's word. The children of Israel are in bondage, and Moses has been going to Pharaoh, and continually Pharaoh's heart is being hardened, and God has brought 9 plagues upon Egypt. And now we're coming to Exodus chapter 12, where the Lord's given Moses some instruction with regard to the 10th plague and some instruction for the children of Israel. So we're going to read Exodus chapter 12, and we're going to start at the verse number 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbour next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls, every man according to his eating, shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening, and they shall take the blood. They shall take of the blood and strike it on the 2 side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat. And they shall eat the flesh in that night roast with fire and on leavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire as head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning, ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. And we'll just end our reading there, and we know the Lord will bless the public reading of his word to our hearts. We'll just come before the Lord again, and we'll ask him to come and help us as we consider this passage together in Exodus chapter 20. Our Heavenly Father, we thank and we praise you tonight for this passage that we have been reading together. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the blood. We thank you, Lord, for the blood that saved Israel on that night all those years ago. We thank you, Lord, tonight for the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ shed on the cross of Calvary for sinners such as us. And Lord, as we consider the precious blood tonight, I pray that you'll come and you'll attend the preaching of thy word. I pray, Lord, that you'll, Lord, fill this place with thy presence tonight. I pray, Lord, that you'll fill my mouth with the things that you would have me to say. Lord, I pray that you'll, Lord, fill me with thy spirit. Help us as we deal with thy precious word tonight, as we, Lord, bring these few thoughts. I pray, Lord, that you'll use them for thy honor and glory. Lord, work in this meeting, we pray. Bless your word and salvation. And Lord, we'll be careful to give thee all the honor and all the glory, for we ask it in thy name's sake. Amen. The blood of the Lamb. Should be a very familiar statement in any Free Presbyterian church. A.W. Tozer said, "There is no place to hide but in the blood of the Lamb." And I want to start off tonight by saying, if you're depending on anything else for your soul's salvation tonight in this meeting, other than the blood of the Lamb, you'll be lost. The Lord Jesus Christ came and he died on the cross of Calvary. He shed his precious blood so that you and I could have eternal life. I know there's many, and whenever we speak to them, they'll give us a list of things that maybe they're doing. Maybe they attend their church. Maybe they're depending on their religion. Maybe they're depending on their good works, on their charity work. And the list goes on and on and on. And they're depending on all these things to get them to heaven. But in the authority of God's word, unless we are depending on the blood of the Lamb, we will be lost. Fanny Crosby wrote that lovely hymn, hymn 310 in her hymn book, "Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child, and forever I am." And the chorus says, redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed, redeemed, his child, and forever I am. Fanny Crosby was blind, and yet she had spiritual sight. She was able to see that she needed to be saved through the blood of the Lamb. And tonight I want us to consider just this subject, very simply, the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb, folks, is central. And I can't emphasize that enough tonight. It's central to our salvation. We will never be saved without the blood of the Lamb. You know, if we read Scripture right from Genesis to Revelation, we are confronted time and time and time again with the blood of the Lamb, with the shed blood. And every time we read of the blood through the Old Testament, as we follow it right from Genesis, this points us to the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. You read in John chapter 1, verse 29, and in that passage, John the Baptist is at the Jordan, and he sees the Lord Jesus Christ coming. And it says there, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and he saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Now, folks, I'm not here tonight to promote a denomination. I'm not here tonight to promote myself. And I'm not here tonight to present to you my philosophies or the philosophies of a church. I'm here tonight to present to you the only way of salvation, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. I just want to start off by tracing and looking at some examples in Scripture through the Old Testament where we have been confronted, as it were, or come face to face with the blood of the Lamb. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 3 and the verse 7. Here we go back to the Garden of Eden. Adam has been placed in a wonderful, perfect environment. A perfect environment. Here God has placed him, he's given him a job to do, he's to name all the animals, he's given him food to eat, he's allowed to eat from any of the tree in the garden, any trees in the garden, apart from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He's given water to drink. But more importantly, as you study this chapter and study Adam in the Garden of Eden, he has got the presence of God. And Adam has been placed in a wonderful environment, but we read that the devil comes and he tempts Eve. God give Adam a helpmate. And the devil comes and Adam and Eve, well, they sin and they eat the forbidden fruit. And you know, as we come to Genesis 3, and if you go to verse 7, it says there in verse 7 of Genesis 3, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Here's one of the first times that we read that Adam is conscious of his nakedness. He's conscious of his sin. And what does he do? He sews fig leaves together to try and cover his nakedness, to try and cover his sin. But you know, men and women, this doesn't wash with God. Because remember tonight, we only have access to God through the blood. Now you go on down that chapter and you come to verse 21. And unto Adam also and to his wife Did the Lord make coats of skins? And what did he do? He clothed them. You see, Adam tried to cover his sin and cover his nakedness with fig leaves. And that speaks to us, men and women, of our own good works. And so many today, they try and cover their sin. And they think they get to heaven through their own good works. But verse 21 tells me that God covered them, clothed them with skins. Now, how did he get the skins? The blood had to be shed. An animal had to die. There had to be a substitute for Adam and Eve to be clothed with the skins of the animals. Turn over a chapter to Genesis chapter 4 and verse 1, and it says there, and Adam knew his wife, Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel's offering, Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Here we see two young boys, Adam and Eve's sons. I believe that they knew the way to approach God. We read earlier in chapter 3 that their father and mother were taught that they could only be clothed, their sin would only be covered through the blood. The animal had to be killed for the skins to be made available to cover their sin, cover their nakedness. And here's two boys, and they're going to approach God. They're going to bring a sacrifice to God. Both of them are farmers. I'm sure both of them are very proud of the work they do. And here we find that Cain, well, he grew crops. And he brought these lovely crops, everything he had worked so hard for. And he brings them unto the Lord. Abel, his brother, he was a shepherd. He looked after the sheep. And he brought a wee lamb. He brought it to the Lord as an offering. And the Bible tells me that God had respect unto Abel's offering, but not unto Cain's. Why? Because the blood had to be shed. And here we see a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who taketh away the Son of the world, who came and died on the cross. Here's this wee lamb, and Abel brings him and slays him, sheds his blood, and lays him on the altar for God. We've seen Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel. Go ye to Genesis chapter 22, and here we find the story of Abraham and Isaac. Abraham and Isaac. God tells Abraham, I want you to take your son, your only son Isaac, and I want you to take him to a mountain that I'll show you. And there I want you to sacrifice him unto me. You imagine how Abraham must have felt that morning he got that message. But off he goes in obedience to God. And you know the story as well as I do. They get to the mountain. Isaac asks his father, we've got the fire, we've got the wood, we've everything we need, but where's the lamb? Where's the sacrifice? You see, Isaac knew to come before God, you needed a lamb. You needed the sacrifice. The blood had to be shed. And we read in that chapter of how the two of them went up that mountain. And Isaac is bound by his father and is laid on the altar. And as he's about to kill his son, there's a voice from heaven and he stops him in his tracks. And then he turns around and there's a lamb or a ram caught in the thicket. And that ram is taken as a substitute. Instead of Isaac, he's laying on the altar and he becomes the sacrifice. You see, men and women, the blood of the lamb, the blood had to be shed. And we can go on right through, and I can show you example after example. Exodus chapter 11, we don't turn to it, 11 and 12. Or sorry, Leviticus 16, 8 to 34, you'll read about the Day of Atonement. Whenever the blood was sprinkled on the mercy seat. You know, we do not preach a bloodless gospel. Tonight as I stand in this pulpit, we preach a gospel that's centered around the blood of the Lamb. So I want us to come to Exodus chapter 12, that passage that we read together. And here, it's commonly known as the Passover. The children of Israel are in bondage in the land of Egypt. Pharaoh's heart has been hardened. He'll not let the people go. And God comes on this 12th chapter and he gives Moses, he gives him some direction of what's going to happen on this night of the Passover. He's brought 9 plagues upon Pharaoh, but Pharaoh's heart is hardened. And God's going to bring one more plague. He's going to bring judgment upon Pharaoh and the land of Israel. And at midnight, all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, or sorry, he's going to bring the plague on the land of Egypt, not the land of Israel. And at midnight, the firstborn in the land of Egypt are going to die. There's going to be judgment upon Egypt and upon Pharaoh. But for God's chosen people, now, we need to get this. God's chosen people, he has provided a way of escape. And tonight, men and women, as we sit in this meeting, and I'm sure your minister preaches this week in and week out, God has judgment upon you and me because we're sinners. The Bible tells me in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That word all means everybody. There's none in this place left out. There's nobody been picked out. We're all in the same boat here. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 5 and 12 says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world. We've read about that already. Through Adam. Listen to this. Here's the judgment. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans 6 and 23. For the wages of sin is death. Wages is what we deserve. Men, if you work all week, and ladies, if you work all week, what do you deserve at the end of the week? You deserve your wages, don't you? And men and women tonight, and boys and girls, the wages, what we deserve for our sin, is death. Spiritual death. Being lost in hell for all eternity. Because we're sinners. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. How do we have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord? Because he shed his precious blood. He became the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And here's two lovely verses. Listen, Romans 5, verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, that's you and me, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Maybe you're in this meeting tonight and you say, Kerry, well, I'm not a sinner. And you, and I've had this conversation before, and you're saying to me, well, I'm not a sinner. And you'll rhyme off good things that you'll do. Listen, unless you admit you're a sinner, this verse tells me, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Men and women, Christ died for sinners. Not for those who think they're good enough to get to heaven. He died for sinners. And if we're ever going to be saved, if we're ever going to be born again, if we're ever going to be in heaven, we need to acknowledge and realize and admit that we're sinners in the sight of God. Romans 10, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, it's salvation is only a call away. I want us to look tonight at a number of wee points regarding the blood here in Exodus chapter 12. And I pray that the Lord will back at home to each one of our hearts tonight. And if you're saved in the meeting, that you'll rejoice with me and what we have through the blood of the Lamb. But maybe you're in this meeting tonight, and as yet you say, I do not know what you're talking about. I do not know what it's like to have my sins forgiven and washed in the blood of the Lamb. Well, I pray tonight that God will open the eyes of everyone in this meeting tonight, and that there be none leave this room and go out through those doors unless you're washed in the blood of the Lamb. Because based on the verses that we've already read, if you're not saved, if you're not washed, and you die, you'll be lost in hell for all eternity. I want us to look here, first of all, at the selecting of the blood, or the selecting of the Lamb. Look at verse 3 with me in Exodus chapter 12. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbour next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls, every man a lamb, every man according to his eating, shall make your count for the lamb. Now the lamb had to be selected. The lamb had to be picked out from the flock. And the first thing I want you to notice with me, this was a personal lamb. This wasn't a lamb that was just covered everybody. Because if you look at chapter 12, verse 3, it says, they shall take to them, right in the center of the verse, every man a lamb. And then in verse 4, it says, every man, according to his eating, shall make your count for the lamb. You know, men and women, this lamb had to be personal to everyone that was in that house. They all had to make their count for the lamb. They all had to, in our words, buy into it. They all had to take the lamb for themselves. Now, you would have one lamb for a family, but every member in that household had to take that lamb. And you know, men and women tonight, I talk to so many people who think that they're going to heaven because their parents are saved, because someone in their family's a Christian. But I want to say to you tonight, as you sit in these pews, you sit before God as an individual, and you need to take the Lamb of God as your lamb. So many people tonight know of the lamb or a lamb, and they can quote scripture to you, to me, about the lambs mentioned in the Bible. But tonight, men and women, you need to take the lamb as your lamb. Every man had to make his own count for the lamb. This was a personal lamb. It was also a perfect lamb. It was a perfect lamb. Look at verse 5. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. This wasn't any old lamb. This had to be a perfect lamb. It says here, without blemish. There had to be absolutely nothing wrong with this lamb. This was a personal lamb, but it was also a perfect lamb. You know, men and women tonight, Christ is the perfect lamb. No one else had lived on this scene of time could have taken that place as the Lamb of God except the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he is the sinless one. He is the perfect one. It says in 1 Peter 1 verse 18, "For as much as ye know that ye are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." That's how he's described. He's perfect, he's sinless, and he's a lamb without blemish and without spot. And as we consider the lamb here in chapter 12 of Exodus, this is pointing us to the perfect, sinless, spotless, lovely Son of God who became the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. 1 Peter 2, verse 21, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." Listen to this. "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." The perfect, sinless Lamb of God. The last two references, 2 Corinthians 5 and 21. "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." 1 John 3. Verse 5, "And ye know that he was manifest to take away your sin, our sins, and in him is no sin." The selecting of the lamb. That household that day had to go into the flock, and they had to pick out a perfect lamb. A lamb that was going to be killed, the blood was going to be shed. And that lamb not only had to be a perfect lamb, but everyone in that house had to make their count for the lamb. It had to become their lamb. Not his lamb or the lamb. It had to be a personal lamb. We've the selecting of the lamb, the selecting of the blood. Then we've got the shedding of the blood. You see, the lamb had to die. This perfect lamb with no blemishes that had to die. Look at Exodus 12 verse 6 with me. "And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation shall kill it in the evening." The lamb had to die. And you men and women, the Lord Jesus Christ, he came to this earth, the sinless, spotless, lovely Son of God, and he had to die on the cross for you and for me. Matthew 27 verse 50 says, "Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost." The lamb had to die. The blood had to be shed. Look at Exodus 12 and verse 7 with me. "And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorpost of the houses wherein they shall eat it. Exodus 12 and 22, look at that verse. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. You know, the blood was precious. The blood was precious, blood was in the basin, and the blood had to be shed. The Lord Jesus Christ, men and women, boys and girls, shed his blood for you and me. John 19 and 1, then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. That word scourge, the root meaning of that word is to flog. They left his back like a ploughed field. His blood was shed, Matthew 27 and 29. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews, Luke 23 and 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the malefactors, one on the right and the other on the left. John 19 and 34. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith there came out blood and water. This lamb in Exodus chapter 12 points us to the cross. The blood had to be shed. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he was scourged. They pushed a crown of thorns down on his head. They nailed him to a cross. They put a spear in his side, and he did it all for you and me, so that we could be saved. We have had the shedding of the blood. We have had the picking out of the blood, or getting the lamb out of the flock. Now we have the striking of the blood. Exodus 12, verse 7. And they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorpost of the houses wherein they shall eat it. Verse 22, and ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts, and the blood that is in the basin, none of you shall go out at that door until the morning. That word strike, the root meaning of that word is to apply. So they had to apply the blood to the side posts of their door and the lintel. There was no point in keeping the blood in the basin. The blood had to be applied. Hyssop is a herb, and the basin, as I've already said, speaks to us of the preciousness of the blood. None of it fell to the ground. The blood was in the basin. And then they took the blood, they put the hyssop under the basin, and they applied the blood to the two side posts and to the lintel. And you know, men and women, that speaks to me tonight of faith. That those people in that house had faith to take the blood and apply it to the lintel and the side posts. And you know, as we said this morning, there's no point in us knowing of the Saviour. We can read of the Saviour. There's men and women, and there's people in that town, and they could tell you of a man named Jesus who came to this earth and he died on the cross and he shed his blood. They could tell you that. But the blood has to be applied to our hearts. And that happens by faith. And as I said this morning, if we break faith down, F-A-I-T, it's forsaking all. Instead, trust him. And that's how we apply, that's how the blood is applied to each one of our hearts in this meeting tonight. We need to come by faith, personally, individually. And we need to accept Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God, as our Lamb, and ask him to be our Savior. And then the blood will be applied. The man had a taker, they took the blood and they applied it to their doorposts and the lintel. Applying the blood was an act of faith. Ephesians 2 verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We've had the selecting of the blood. We have had the shedding of the blood. We have had the striking of the blood. And now we have the sight of the blood. Look at verse 13. Chapter 12, verse 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Right in the middle of that verse, what's God say? When I see the blood, the sight of the blood. Look at verse 23. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses and smite you. We are saved through the blood. Romans 5 verse 9. What's more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Justification. Just as if we never had sinned. In that moment that we asked the Lord and come before him as a sinner and asked him to come into our lives and into our heart and be our Savior, the Bible teaches us that we're justified. And as God looks down upon us tonight, he sees you, Heather, as justified, as righteous in his sight. He sees you as the blood applied. You see, he needs to see the blood. He needs to see the righteousness of his Son on you, or else he will see you as a sinner, lost and on your way to hell for all eternity. The sight of the blood. As the destroyer went through Egypt that night, whenever they saw the blood on the doorposts, they passed over. And everyone in that house was safe. But everyone in that house, remember, have taken their count for the Lamb. It's personal to them. And no man and woman, as God looks down on this meet tonight, I asked you the question, what does he see? Does he see the righteousness of Christ? Are you justified? Have you the blood applied to your heart? Or does he see you as a sinner, still on your road to a lost eternity? Depending on your self-righteousness, depending on your good works, the sight of the blood. Then at last, the last point, salvation through the blood. The people were saved. The people were saved. Look at verse 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And then, verse 23, for the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. And you read on in those chapters as God delivered the children of Israel that night, that Passover night out of Egypt. Not one was lost. those that had the blood on the doorposts, those that made their count for the lamb, those that slew the lamb and applied the blood to the doorpost, the destroyer saw the blood and passed over them, and they were safe. You know, if we're to be saved from a lost eternity, we need to have the blood applied. Probably the most familiar verse in all of Scripture, yet it's been said that this is the gospel in a nutshell. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world, that's you and me, that he gave his only begotten Son, that's the Lamb of God, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, not perish, but have everlasting life. Salvation through the blood. John 14 and 6. For Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Salvation through the blood. We've been considering how the children of Israel that night were saved. There was an impending judgment, but they obeyed God. They selected a perfect lamb. They shed the blood. And by faith they applied the blood to the doorpost and the lintel. And at the sight of the blood, they were saved. But what about you? As you sit in this meeting tonight, and we've, as best we can, we've considered the blood. What about you? When the Lord looks down in this meeting tonight, what about you? Does he see the blood? Are you saved tonight? Are you trusting in the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world? Does he see the righteousness of Christ in you? Have you trusted in the perfect, spotless, sinless Lamb of God and his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary? Maybe you say to me, how can I have this salvation? How can I be saved? Well, I just give you three words. Number one, admit. Admit that you're a sinner. Christ came into this world to save sinners. Repent. Turn away from your sin. Turn to God. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that brings me to be. Believe. Believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is God's Son. And accept God's gift of salvation through the blood. And then confess. See. Confess your faith in Jesus Christ as your Saviour and Lord. As a wee boy of 9, I came and asked the Lord to save me. I didn't know very much about the Bible. I couldn't have explained the plan of salvation to you from the Bible, but I knew this. Unless I had Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, as my Saviour, as a wee boy of 9, and I asked him to come into my heart and be my Saviour, I knew that if I died, I was lost for all eternity. And I pray tonight that there be no one in this meeting will miss God's salvation. No one in this meeting will go right through those doors still on their road to a lost eternity. I pray that you'll come, put your faith and your trust in the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. In the children's meeting, we sing a wee chorus. Into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And you know, you can do that. You prayed those words and meant them with all your heart. And just asked the Savior to come in. Even where you sit in your pew tonight, you can be saved. You can cry unto the Lord and ask Him to come in and be your Savior. And thank God, on the authority of God's word, that's what will happen. He'll come in, He'll make you a new creature, He'll make you ready for heaven. I pray tonight that there be none will miss God's salvation, none will miss the Savior, and that you'll come and put your faith and your trust in Him. We'll just have a wee word of prayer before we sing our last hymn, but we'll have a wee word of prayer. And maybe as your eyes are closed and your heads are bowed, maybe God has been speaking to your heart in this meeting tonight. And maybe you know that you're a sinner. And as you've sat and we've listened and we've thought about the Savior, we've thought about the Lamb of God and how we can be saved through the blood of the Lamb, maybe God has been speaking to you. And you want to be saved. You know you don't really need. You don't need a minister. You don't need a preacher. You can be saved right where you sit in these pews. Just cry unto the Lord and ask Him to come into your heart and to save you. But maybe you want to speak to us. We'll be only too glad to sit down and open the Scriptures. I can't save you. But we can open the Scriptures together and we can look at it. And we can look and see from God's word, the one who can save you and make you right and ready for heaven. If you want to speak to us, we'll be about, we'll be at the door. You just say to us, and we'll be glad to stay and have that time with you around God's word. But don't leave tonight. Don't leave tonight without being saved, without God's salvation. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy word to our hearts tonight. And Lord, I pray, Lord, as your word has gone forth, I pray, Lord, that you'll take it. And Lord, that you'll save precious souls. We pray that there be none in this meeting tonight lost. There be none go out through those doors still on their road to a lost eternity. And I pray, Lord, that you'll work in the hearts of men and women. And Lord, draw them unto thyself. Lord, I pray that you'll save tonight. For we ask these things in thy name's sake. Amen. We're just going to sing our last hymn together, 211. Hymn 211 in our hymn books. There is a story sweet to hear. I love to tell it to. It fills my heart with hope and cheer. 'Tis old, yet ever new. Verse 2 says, it tells me God the Son came down from glory's throne to die, that I might live and wear a crown and reign with Him on high. We'll sing these words together and we'll stand to sing after the introduction, please.
Thank you. presence with us tonight. We thank you for help. And Lord, we pray that your word will not return unto you, for the Lord is the voice of man.
Grow silent tonight. I pray that the voice of God will speak on. Lord, we pray for every person in this meeting tonight. You know how they stand before you. Lord, I pray that you'll draw the last one in and save tonight. Lord, we pray that you'll take us to our homes in safety. And Lord, put your hand and blessing upon this church, this congregation, and this place. For we ask all these things.